Okay, write that down.
I feel like Edith Ann behind this podium. Seriously, that is very hard to work from. Okay. Yeah, please. They do. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh no! Took off. Where did I? There we go. Sorry. Got the wrong set. There we go. Good to see you this morning. I wanted to start off by saying Merry Christmas. And I'm glad to have you here today. I love looking at you. And I'm so thankful for you. I'm thankful for the work of prayer. I'm very grateful. Last night I was talking to Iva about some things. I feel like I'm on the verge of feedback up here. Can you help here? There's some things that decisions and so forth that are really significant and impactful to the ministry, to the church, moving forward. And so I was able, I don't do this very often, very rarely, probably count on one hand the number of times I've called her and said, so what's on your radar? I need to know. And she started to tell me just a tiny little bit, and you know, I was about four sentences in into it, she broke into tongues, and I won't drink that, Dan. And I was driving home. I was been in Oklahoma, so for about 40 minutes, we just prayed in tongues. Julie Cerrone was with me. Prayed in tongues, and then we began to talk. And she said some things that were direct confirmation. I was listening to her praying as I was praying, and I was listening to words that she was saying, and it was spot on. It was very exactly the things that, it concerned things that I had on my heart, and a number of them anyway. And then we talked, and the stuff that she and Mary Lou had been praying together about, it was confirmation of the direction George and I, we were about to go one way, and then yesterday morning he said, I don't know, maybe we should go this way. And I said, I think that's probably right, but we'll wait and see. And then I call Iva, and out I hear words coming out in tongues, and then we talk, and she doesn't have any clue about anything. In fact, I said, Iva, has anybody said anything to you, just naturally speaking? And I was like, that was an insult. And I'm like, I was like, okay. She said, no. Sorry. So I appreciate that. I appreciate prayer. I appreciate that. And I was even that whole time while we were talking, I was very aware of how rare this level of praying is. How rare it is. Julie also had told me she went to a prayer meeting among a large group of Christians. In fact, it may have been some Christian leaders from around other parts together. I don't remember, but it was a prayer meeting. And she went, and they were going to pray over Jerusalem and Israel. In fact, it was in Israel, but it was Christians praying. And she she said they started praying, and she thought, like, Pastor Terry and I would be Bible beating these people. This is awful. She said the wailing and the begging and the crying and the problems and the blah, 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 blah. And she said she just suffered through it and thought, oh, God. And then this person that was leading, she said, oh, God, if there's something you want me to say or do to help this, well, you just open the door. And the guy stood up and said, Julie, I'd like for you to come pray. I think she's like, Pastor Terry, I did my best to correct all that mess, you know. But you can't be critical of other people. They don't know what they don't know. And most people pray what they've heard, not what they've studied. Or they pray based on the people in the Bible who are recorded not knowing how to pray. You can't use Job as your role model. Okay? It's not So, anyway, all that to say, I'm keenly aware of how the Lord has blessed us. He's blessed us with each one of you and how he's brought you here, dropped in you a heart to pray, a hunger to know how to pray. People want to pray, but they don't want to be bothered with knowing how. They just want to do it. And then we're keenly and supremely blessed to have Miss Iva and her leadership and the anointing. And we'll have to pray a little further about that recording contract she's asking about.
With the ensemble, you know. What do you call it, Panama?
So, we have, as Pastor has been preaching to us the last couple of weeks about the word of the Lord for 2020, and then Brother Copeland gave us a word. He spoke to us in December, word he already has about 2021. I've never seen that before. But here's the interesting thing. The Lord spoke to Sister Billy back in September, and he spoke to her about the next 2 years. You remember that? Did you? If you watched Victory Thon, you heard her talk about it.
It's and on about, YouTube.
It's all, okay, good, good. Maybe if you can find the what we look up on YouTube, what you look for, we can find that.
I'll send it to you, Tracy.
Okay, so we'll let you know. But looking up what she said and the Lord spoke to her about the 2 years between Rosh Hashanah and how they were a transition year, and she believes this is so. And then in speaking to Julie last night, she just suddenly began to tell me about a dream that her son Dylan had 12 years ago about the coming of the Lord. And it was very much in detail, and there were a couple of very interesting facts in it, and he saw him and his family. He caught away in a chariot driven by angels, led with the reins, in the rapture. So he knew that. He looked to his right, and there was Sister Billy. He looked to his left, and there was Brother Copeland. And so part of the indication of that was that... somebody take that away from her. What in the world was I saying? So he looked to his left, he looked to his right, and he saw Brother Copeland and Sister Billy, and that indicated that the Lord came while they were still on the earth. Because they were caught up with him at the same time as the rapture. So, and he had great detail of her crown, great detail of his crown, great detail coming into heaven and what he saw. And for him and his family. So it's very interesting. So I want to read through a couple of things in this prophecy. And of course, I'm not even going to look up the scripture, but in Timothy, where Paul told Timothy, he said, you need to give special attention to these prophetic intimations because by them you wage a good warfare. So anyway, 2020, Amos 3:7, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. The office of the prophet is heightening. We've seen that for a long time, but I'm still surprised by it. You know, and I don't mean like taken unaware, but it's always a stunning thing when you step up, you see it at work. You thought, oh wow, oh wow. It just keeps escalating. 2 Chronicles 20:20, believe the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. Joel 2:28, shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Old men shall dream dreams. Young men see visions. And upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days I will pour out my spirit. I don't think that this is saying that dreams belong to old men, visions belong to new young men, but only, but that... That that there's a great opening for dreams and visions. Okay. So it's that it's not too late nor too soon. Old men, young men, that all multi-generational stepping over into the supernatural. I will show signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, which we saw that in the 2014, 2015, the blood moons, the four blood moons, with a solar eclipse in the middle of it. Before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes, and whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered and saved. Everything is all about souls. No matter what we're praying, no matter what we're doing, it all is pointing to that. Because the tunnel of time that we are in, this time tunnel that we are in, is narrowing, 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 narrowing. It's not just coming to an end. It's narrowing. And so it says in the scripture talking about travail and birth, what is that? It is a constriction, the pressure. What is the constriction? Time. Time. It's like the hourglass. There's no mistake that we have that, that what starts out wide, Charles Capps used to put it this way. What was the acceptable will of God in times past was very wide. But as time narrows, the acceptable will of God is very narrow. And there's great pressure for that. There's great pressure to get out of the will of God. And yet there's a great draw from heaven and the great draw of the Spirit to be in the will of God. And of course, Peter quoted that in the second chapter of Acts. So the Lord is revealing new visions this coming year that will absolutely be stunning. I love that word. They will include insights, ideas, concepts that have never been heard before. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Young men will see visions. Old men will dream dreams. And the Spirit of God will be poured out upon servants and handmaidens. 2020, a year of great change and manifested power. Now this, I believe, is posted online. I've asked that it be moved to the front page of the website, so that you can get it easily, but we will have access. If you can't find it, we'll have access for it.
We sent it to them the minute it came out. They've had it since October 29th.
Okay, very good. If you go through that, you should study this, because there are listings. There are things to look for and pray about one by one by one. Great change, wonderful and magnificent changes in the kingdom of God in the earth. Changes that will come because of insights, ideas, and concepts directly from Jesus to his church by his mighty Spirit. Why directly from Jesus? Paul said, I have revelations that were given to me directly. Why? There was no one else to get it from. It doesn't mean that everything Paul said lined up with the Old Testament, but it was hidden. Yes. Couldn't see it. Brother Hagin had so many visions from Jesus. Why? Because there was no one to go to and get it. What the Lord wanted him to be instructed. And so Brother Hagin said, if we don't teach this move of the Spirit, it will be lost to a generation. Well, if it gets lost, then what happens? Jesus has to come and impart it to people, specific visions and big manifestation. Why is Jesus appearing to Muslims? There's nobody in there to bring it. You can't get in. He did the same thing in China. Okay, he did the same thing in Russia. Impartations, why I couldn't get in there. And in these Muslim walls, it's even harder, because at least in Russia, there was the Russian Orthodox never went away. So there was at least hints, an awareness of Jesus. In those worlds, you understand. So that means to me that there are direct revelations coming from Jesus of things, concepts, ideas, not apart from Scripture, never, ever, ever, never, ever. But insights, ideas, and concepts to be seen, to be understood so that we can walk in them in ways that we can't point to, that we can't quote somebody, or that we haven't understood. Even if they knew, we don't get it. So what is new to us? Do you think that everything that the scripture holds has been seen? No, of course not. So much more to see. Where are these concepts for? They are concepts of how his laws work. Well, you got to go here to find those. And there's been such an upheaval against the laws of God. Okay? I'm sorry to say, but in the church, so much talk about not being under the law, to the point that way too much of the church thinks that there are no laws. But the New Testament is full of them. And while the Old Testament was governed by the law and the prophets, the New Testament is governed by the law of love. But there is command after command after command after command through Jesus, through the apostles, through the New Testament epistles that tell us. There are lots of don't do this and don't do that and do this and do that. And to think otherwise is lawlessness. And who is the lawless one? Say it. Antichrist, the anti-anointed one. So in this day, the devil, the Antichrist, is trying to move the church into a place of such, quote, freedom that they've lost concept of how the laws work. And the laws of God are to our benefit, not just for orderly and good living and all that's a blessing, but we're talking about concepts into how love works. There are people right now that some of you have been praying for. We've been praying for, and we've seen no change. We've had too many people in the church, in our church as well as beyond, that have died. Why? We don't have enough idea, insight, and the concept of how the spiritual laws of God work. We don't. And it's not God's fault, but there's coming a time when there's a fullness of understanding that we are to come to the church. I don't believe that the glorification of the church just happens out of nowhere for no reason, but it will be because it will be the next thing as we move towards it, that we will have these insights, ideas, concepts of how his laws, the law of love, the laws of the spirit, the law of life, the law of sowing and reaping, the law of speaking, the laws of grace, the laws that define and operate in these. And as we know them and we are changed because of them and we operate in them, then it will come to the point that the next thing, those laws work in us to quicken us as a church. I believe that. So here are the laws he's talking about. He lists them. The laws governing increase and financial prosperity. The laws of the Spirit that release miracles and divine healings and manifestations of his power on the earth. Concepts of his love and his very person, for he is love. Insights into the true power and strength of his joy. This is so big. Yes. It's huge. Maybe, surprisingly, the most significant one. Why? Because there's so little of it. Nobody talks about the power, the true power and strength of his joy. And one of the things I've been pulling for and pulling on for 10 years is for music to get out of this. This talking about victory with a sad look and a funeral dirge for the sound. Come on. I hate it. And I'm a little overzealous about it, you know, to have musicians that I know. I can feel them rolling their eyes at me. I know that. But it's because we're pulling for this. It will be days of political change, great victories, great defeats. For the spiritual enemies of God and his people shall be crushed. Spirits, not flesh and blood. But there are those on both sides of the political divide who refuse to listen to the Lord Advocate General of the church. Their dreams will be dashed, their desires wounded. They'll be removed from their offices and replaced. You know, I see a twofoldness in that. Bible says that God is the one who gives and grants authorities and places people in office. But those offices are, there are some people who are placed in office by the same way that someone is placed in an office of prophet, apostle, etc., divine calling. And because of that, they have a spiritual context that they operate. They're graced for it. But Jesus said, everyone that enters in by any other way other than the door is a thief and a robber. So you have people that get over and they operate in that anointing, but not by the Spirit of grace and not by him, not by Jesus, not by his word. And so what do you have? People that are amazing. They can operate. The media, there are people called and in media, but they operate outside the Spirit of God, and therefore they use it. What would be the opposite of operating in the Spirit by the Spirit of God? What's the opposite of that? Who knows what we call that? Witchcraft. Witchcraft. And what happens in witchcraft? Witchcraft is manipulation in the spirit. It's so dangerous. So witchcraft that woos and draws and people just follow after it. People are drawn into it. Well, you see that in operation. And he said, this is stopping. So we have people in Washington, D.C. and in other government offices all the way down that are operating in an anointing because of their calling, but they're not operating in the Spirit of God. This is what happened in the garden. Satan moved in and he wooed Adam, who brought his calling and his anointing over and subjected it to Satan's operation, and the blessing became the curse, but he was still anointed to do what he did. Some by ballot, some by tragedy, some who in despair quit and do something else. This is my country, saith the Lord Jesus. It was founded by people who love me for the sole purpose of their love and desire to worship the Lord God. I'll never forget that. It's a year of change and manifested power, removal of politicians. Those politicians that refused my call to unite and become the United States of America and not just America. Those politicians that refuse to listen, politicians that continue the pathway of hate, I will remove them from their place, remove their influence from the record books, remove their candle in their families, remove them from office, and see, remove their candle. That, think about that in the book of Revelation. That's spiritual appointment. He said, I'm going to remove them. I'm going to remove that anointing and that place in the Spirit. They'll be frustrated. They'll talk, but nobody will listen. Remove them from office, put somebody there that will. This is what the Spirit of God is saying. Then, 2021, this is Brother Copeland called Pastor and was talking to him. He said, I was up praying in the middle of the night and I heard this. 2021 is the year of the local church. Healing revivals will break out in local churches all over America. Start planning the calendar now for meetings in local churches in 2021. Have pastors send us pictures of their churches. We would like to pray over them, so get ready. get ready. Yes. Last night, and I think it may have been somewhat influenced by hearing about Dylan's dream. I don't know. But I had a dream early this morning. And in this dream, remember that phrase? We talked about it's the blood. The moon turns to blood, sun turns to darkness. Well, we saw that pattern. Okay. But then he said, columns, other translations, vapor of smoke. Well, James talks about how our lives are but a vapor, a vapor. What does that mean? Here today, gone tomorrow. You know, now you see it, now you don't. Temporary. So our lives here, not that you are temporary, but he was in the context of what James said that, he was talking about our life here is but a vapor in the scope of forever. You know, it's measurable on a scale that's immeasurable. So the immeasurable always surpasses the measurable. So I was in this dream, I stepped out of a building onto a sidewalk, and it was a city scene. I don't want to say New York City, but I had the thought of that, but it looked like Main Street-ish kind of movie. Okay? And there were lots of people, and they were all looking up this way going, oh, wow. And I saw these forms, I think of people, I don't know because I don't remember any of them, but I saw them in my dream, but I don't remember any of them, but a vapor of smoke. But they came and they were clouds. They were clouds that looked really real. And they were passing by, coming up like a Macy's Day balloon, parade balloon, you know. They were coming like, but it was clouds, formations. And they were so, it was like very impressive, you know, how realistic they looked. But clouds, very, like, that's cool the way, where'd that come from, these giant clouds of people? Wow. Oh. And they were looking, and they're all looking to my right, but I looked just this way. And the clouds, the clouds open and a portal open, and there was Jesus. And it wasn't the whole of him. It was only somewhat, like to hear. And it was a little bit, I didn't realize this till later, but in looking at him, it was a little bit disproportionate in that his shoulders, oh, thank you, Lord. His shoulders, I'm still looking for all the interpretation of this. It was really big. Like, I don't mean muscular, they were broad. There was a lot. When I say disproportionate, you know, the shoulders were really big, that scripture just came to me. The government would be on his shoulders. But anyway, his shoulders were very broad. Broad's the word I'm looking for. Really broad. And then it was just kind of straight down. And I looked and I saw him, and he did this way. He was doing, like, moving his arms. Like, well, I reached up towards him, and I said, oh, it's Jesus. And I was reaching for him, expecting the rapture. And I was telling everybody, look, this is real. This is real. Look, look. And like, no, no, no. And they're still looking at these things, all looking at the things. Nobody looked. And I was reaching like, Jesus, Jesus. And I reached out expecting, you know, to get caught up to him. But I wasn't. And while he was, so I understood later, it was a call to come up, but not like that, but maybe to look up. And while he did that, then he sort of turned this way and just indicated, and I looked to my right, his left and my right, and there was another Jesus. And it was Jesus, but he was robed in a very thick, I want to say, velveteen type garment, robe, and it was dark, dark, dark. I thought at once that maybe it was a dark purple, almost black, and then I thought, no, it's like that. I had the thought, maybe that's what real scarlet is. It was, but it wasn't black. It wasn't black, but it was dark like that. Deep dark, and a gold sash across his chest, and a very large gold crown on his head. But he wasn't looking at me. He wasn't looking at me. Instead, it was like he was face towards me, but But instead of looking at me, he was, you know, squared to me, but he was turned, pointing, like this. And I woke up. Like, you know, what? So I spent the rest of my morning pondering all that, reading in Thessalonians about the coming of the Lord, and that in Joel, and then in Acts, and pondering that. And what it seemed to me was that these clouds were the things that people are looking at, and they're temporary, and they're nothing. They're nothing. But that Jesus is calling us to look at him, to watch more keenly for the second coming. We are to watch for him, but we are to change what we are looking for. And to not, when I saw him, that first it was the typical white garment. And really, I had a vision of Jesus as a child, and I saw him. And that's not what I saw. What I saw today was more traditional, kind of a long hair, and not kind of a sad. Not a sad. I didn't see the victory so much in him. It was just long hair. But then when I turned, it was the king. And it was sharp, and it was sharply groomed. His hair was full and short, and his beard was just marvelous when I saw him. And it seemed to me that perhaps what I was seeing was a turning, begin to look at for the soon coming king. And when we see the soon coming king, it was like, that's the one that's pointing to the rapture. That's the one they saying, look to that. You look. That's where you're looking for. And it's a shift. And if you see that, that's what's in Revelation. So as we're reading through Revelation, remember what you see in him. And what John saw at the beginning, but then he saw him with the crown. Then he saw them with the sash. Then he saw him on the horse. Then he saw all those things of the king. So I don't know. At first I thought, well, maybe that wasn't really a dream from the Lord. And I pondered it. But when I started to tell George about it this morning, I couldn't hardly get it out. I couldn't hardly speak it. And the presence of the Lord came on me. But most particularly as I looked up to him and was reaching for him. Reaching. I was reaching to go. I was and trying to get others to go. Nobody turned to look. Nobody turned to look. So maybe there are more parts to that. I don't know. Can't even say 100%. You know, I've had dreams before, some that I knew to be so clearly from the Lord, but this one, thought, you know, it's interesting that would come to me before I come to be with you today. So then I walked in, and I had told Iva and Tracy and all to get things for you guys for your Christmas gift. And so what we have for you back there, and we brought enough for everybody to pick. Those are your shopping bags over here, and you'll see in right here and also out in the foyer, there are a number of things that you can pick. So pick three of anything that you want. And so we have a number of things. David Barton, two CDs from David Barton. Billy Brim's First of All, her book, How to Pray. And then Gloria's Walk in the Spirit. So we want to bless you with that. But included in this, and I don't think I asked for this. I think you just came up with it. Did we talk about it, or you were just led to do it?
I saw it and I told Holden, I said, we need to get that one.
Meetings in the Light of the Second Coming.
Yeah.
So when I walked in and I looked down and I saw that, Oh, yeah, it's me. Meetings in light of the second coming. We all need to hear this.
Yes, we do.
We all need, because what was the instruction? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves, especially as you see the day approaching. That's what he said. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. And I believe that has a twofold meaning. It would mean assembling, like you really need to show up, but also the gathering together of the church, the unifying, because we know that the earmark of the church is the unity, the unity of faith. So these, apparently, unity will be a product of our assembling together. I see a great work of division. In the spirit of division, always, because that's the nature of our enemy. The last thing I want to mention to you in all of this is we already mentioned that the prophet's calling. Somebody else comment?
I'm just answering. Someone else still didn't understand who the CD was preaching.
It's me. If it would have been by somebody else, they'd been fine too, but it just somehow it was me. Okay. But then in prayer, a few days ago with my mostly pastoral team, we began to talk about things about the revival capital of the world. And I was talking to them about how the Lord, and I don't think I have time today to cover all this with you. You know, what would you think, ladies, about given, you and Tracy, if y'all go back and listen to that prayer time and see if it would be appropriate
Tracy,
to share with everybody.
I asked her on Thursday, I said, I would like to know for you, can the prayer leaders have it?
Listen to it and make sure there's nothing in there for public. I don't think there is, but maybe. So that would help for you to hear it. So all of this comes together. Mm-hmm. So we were praying. And I would talk to them at length about the revival capital of the world and how what the Lord did to resurface that from 1978, maybe somewhere in there. But the Lord had visited Dad about it. He had an open vision about it, and the Lord spoke to him. You know, 73, and then again in 79, I guess, and then we did this pamphlet about it, and we went to one meeting in North Carolina, talked about it one time, it was never mentioned again. And the way that it all started surfacing again in 2014 was pretty amazing. So I tell about that at this prayer group, but as we began to pray then over it, and there was a presence that came on talking about it, wasn't there?
My, yes.
It
wow.
was one of those we all sat there, you were there, Helden, right?
Holden.
So, yes, a lingering presence, the way it was, yeah. So then we moved over into prayer for about 30, 40 minutes, I think it was. And so the praying, though, began to pray about doors, not in itself so unusual, but those doors and praying about the doors and talking about the doors that were in people, you know, people are doors. People, there are some people who are our doors. And Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open that door, I will come in and sup with him. We'll talk on doors right now. But so we were praying about that, and we prayed about the doors that are in people, and we called people, called those doors, thinking of people. We called those doors here, doors, financial doors, people who are financial doors. Barnabas was a door. He came, and when he brought his offering to Peter and laid it at his feet, and tradition says that he's the rich young ruler. And so Jesus was trying to pull him into the kingdom operation, and he turned his back, but he redeemed that. and brought his offering to Peter. And when he did, that whole move that had been happening opened to such a level that the Bible says that Ananias and Sapphira incident, and everybody was afraid of them.
Right.
What was the promise? My dad called last week and he said, I know why people hate the Jews. He said, I know the root of anti-Semitism. He said, read to us in Deuteronomy 28, and all nations shall be afraid of you. And they don't even know why. They're afraid of them. They cry, and like Ronnie Levy said, over what? Lighting some candles once a week? You know? They're afraid of them. Well, we know that whatever God has for the Jews, there is a likeness of that over in what he has for us. They're the same but different. You know, they have their place, we have ours. But they'll all be afraid. They're afraid of us. But it's coming to a place that fear of the Lord in us is going to be stronger. So that place of prayer. So, and then the doors, the last thing to say. So as I was praying about the doors that day, we prayed about those doors coming, financiers, people who will finance the school, finance the network, finance the ministry, finance the church. And when they open that door, then nobody has lack. Everybody starts. And that those doors open to what? Insights, ideas, concepts. Doors. What are doors open to? Doors open to rooms. 1 Kings 19:15, the Lord was talking to Elijah. He said, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and out Jehu, son of Nimshi, to be king over Israel. And I think it's very interesting, political. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, to be prophet in your room. King James, in your room. So, then we started to pray. It came up in me as I was praying, all the doors. Lord, open all the doors. But what I saw was a room, the room, like a round room, and the entire room all the way around was doors. There was no wall space. It was just kind of like this, just door, 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 all the way around the room. And my prayer at that moment in particular was for KCM and for the people to come through the doors into Brother Copeland's room. I need people who get it. I need people who understand. And I was telling George about that. I said, you know, I entered that door to my dad's room when I was a kid. And a lot of it through prayer and praying with my grandmother. She was a door opener. She opened the door for my dad to walk in that room. And she opened that door for me to step in that room. So it's not just, obviously, it's not just a room for prophets to go into. But it's a room where everybody can go in and partake of that as it pertains to them. So as we pray, I'm believing for that, for you, for our church, and for our ministry and our school, that everyone will come through their door into that room. This room that we're talking about. I know that's a lot of things, but 2020, wow, what a year we're going to be stepping into. What a place we're going to step into. The last thing, we didn't make this one of your gifts, but you can get these. I don't know if we have enough in the bookstore for everybody at once, but this book, The Wake Up Call by Oral Roberts, and it was the vision that he had, and I need to refresh on it. It's a transcript of Dad interviewing him about this experience, this vision that he was caught up in the spirit. And I would recommend that you all read that as well, because I don't think it's happened yet. It was post 9/11, I believe.
2004. All
right. 2004. Yeah. Okay. So that tells you it hasn't fully happened yet. But there was talk about New York. There was talk about a sound. Anyway. Hallelujah. Anything else? I know we didn't pray together, but I felt like I needed to get those things to you. Yeah. Yeah. So once again, I love you. I thank you. I thank you for your prayers for George and I. Our task is big, but we're equipped. And we are equipped because it's God's will. We're equipped by His grace. But remember, Paul was equipped for so much, but he implored people to pray for him over and over and over. So I'm very, very, very grateful for your prayers because it's not about George and I. It's about the kingdom. It's all about the kingdom. Lord, I thank you for this wonderful, marvelous assembly of saints called, set apart for your use, for your glory. I'm asking you, sir, over this word that was given, that, Lord, among these would be your first to taste the new insights, new ideas, and new concepts and understanding of the working of spiritual laws, the laws of finance, the laws of your love, the laws of the miracles and working, divine miracles and manifestations of your power, concepts of love in your very person, and insights into the true power and strength of your joy. I'm asking you, Lord, that even as the devil stirs, and he come against those, and he comes against us, and we know that he will, but that Lord, we function and operate in those laws of strength, joy, love, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, in ways and in levels, sophisticated levels of spiritual understanding, in the name of Jesus, that this group would be the first to taste, the first to see, the first to know, and that they would make way for the coming of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless. Yes, we better go to church. Okay.